Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville and Stephanie Wilwaco. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting, entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU FM, 100.5 on your dial, and streaming throughout the world at wbou.org. Our topic today, your child and nutrition. Our guest expert is nutritionist Carrie Lou Robinson. Carrie Lou is a gifted speaker, an excellent educator, and a longtime friend. A great big welcome to you, Carrie Lou, and to our listeners.
Thank you very much.
It's so fun to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm always interested in what you're up to next.
Well, this is my most current thing. Like most things in life, children's dietary habits and other eating habits are learned by watching their parents. Having said that, the mood set by the parents is an important part of eating. Eating together is one of the most important things a family can do to assure happy, healthy, loving kids. It is so important. Research tells us that at a minimum, families should have no fewer than 5 meals together each week. Personally, I think only 5 meals together is bordering on child neglect. There are a few reasons compelling enough to warrant fewer than 10. Hovering over the sink, eating a sandwich or cold cereal out of a bowl does not count as a family meal. To enable more meals together, parents should start with breakfast. If a family is too tired or too rushed to eat breakfast, make a point to have everyone get to bed a few minutes earlier. Families should go to bed early enough to ensure enough time to sit down at a table and eat breakfast together. Breakfast is a wonderful time for the family, a time for them to prepare for the day. Among things that can and should be discussed are, what are the members of the family's plans for the day? What do the kids expect to learn at school? What are their friends up to? What do parents have going at work? As hard as it is to believe, I see high school and college kids every day who have no idea what their parents do for a living. All those parents can't be working for the FBI. Lunch together is not possible on most days, but 7 breakfasts should be and at least 5 dinners. Keep in mind that parents and children will have school meetings or business meetings, which may cause them to miss a meal. These interruptions must be kept to a minimum. 1 a month per family member seems about right to me. Family dinner should be written on everyone's calendar. It's more important than most of the things that take us away from that most vital interchange with the family. It's just one of the reasons children should be limited to one extracurricular activity at a time. Dinner together is a time to discuss what happened that day and how each member of the family reacted to it. Ask about the things they told you at breakfast they were planning to do. What did Miss Jones say about the new country you were going to discuss today? What was the most interesting thing or fun thing that happened on your field trip? What was the easiest question that Mr. Schmidt asked on that bio test? What was the hardest? How did band practice go? Talk about your work day and about your spouse's work day. Tell the kids about any new friends you met that day. Ask what new friends they made. Tell them about a funny thing that happened to you at work. They'll try to top it. That's how conversations go. These conversations are so important, and your kids' attitude towards school will reflect your attitude towards work. So be careful what you say about your boss or the co-workers. Now, one big word of caution here. You want to make sure you ask questions that cannot be answered by a single grunt or word. Ask questions that require them to think. Conversation will come naturally. One major rule, no electronic devices at the table. No cell phones, no texting, no television, no radio. Just family enjoying their time together. One of my sons puts it this way. Food nourishes the body. Conversation nourishes the mind, and companionship nourishes the soul. One question that parents frequently asked me when I was in practice was, how do you get your kids to talk to you? I often wondered how you get them to stop. But as soon as kids can say a few words, they will start talking as long as we listen. And as they grow older, they'll keep talking as long as we keep on listening. If we stop listening, guess what? They stop talking. We have 14 grandkids, and they talk my ears off every time we're together. Dinner time is also a good time to discuss politics. Yes, I said politics. Kids need to know about government, both local and national. So get them involved. Let them know what things you think governing officials should and should not do. Teach them that it's okay to have different opinions, and they, like you, should learn how to discuss them without shouting, name-calling, or anger. Perhaps our guest will have more to say about that. Our guest expert is Carrie Lou Robinson. She has a bachelor's degree in food and nutritional science from Utah State University, a master's in business from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. She has been in the nutrition field for over 30 years, working as a registered and licensed clinical dietitian, and is currently self-employed as a nutrition consultant in sports medicine and corporate wellness. But most important of all, she is originally from Wisconsin, and like all of us, is always a Packer fan. Welcome, Carrie Lou, to WBOU 100.5 on your dial, and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.com.
Thank you again, Dr. Parr. And again, I'm welcome to be here. I'm very excited that you're from Wisconsin and a Packer fan, too.
Well, this is going to be their year.
Yes,
I hope.
Believe it.
Carrie, some of my opening remarks may have seemed a bit harsh, but parenting is a serious business, and the future of our country and our world lies not in the hands of our children, but in the hands of their parents. We need to be serious about parenting. Do you think I went overboard?
No, I don't think you're too harsh. I do believe that as parents, when we do have children, we are responsible to teach them and to serve them well. But the example is, every family is a different dynamic. So if I look at my family, I have four children, 10-year spread. So there's going to be different needs food-wise and different needs in conversation with those different years. So saying that everybody has to be at a family meal 7 times for breakfast, you know, 5 times every week at night, is not probably a reality it was in my family. I couldn't do that.
So it was a goal.
A definite goal. And you do need to sit down. But it might be just sitting down with one kid and feeding them at a time because they have other activities because they're older or younger.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't have that problem. My four kids are about 5 years apart, top to bottom. So they were all the same age.
Right.
Especially our three sons. They were 8th, 9th, and 10th grade. They were close 1 year
See,
apart.
See, that's important. And they have that camaraderie within each other. Mm-hmm. But you're right. Sitting down at a table, especially even looking at a round table, where nobody is kind of the head of the family, where you're working together and talking.
That's so true. Even when you go to the restaurant, you know, you have a big long table and nobody gets a conversation, but a round table?
A round table, fellowship can happen, and you can pass food to each other, so that's serving each other. You have all those other dynamics that are going on.
I think we both agree that there's more to eating than food.
Yes.
And but we need to talk about food.
Okay.
Tell us about this, what's called the food pyramid.
All right. Well, actually, it's interesting. The food guide pyramid was developed to help us understand how many servings of a food should we have in a day. And it actually came about from Sweden. And what they wanted to do is, amid high prices during 1972, they decided, okay, to get the minimal nourishment to feed somebody, what do we need? So they came up with the daily allowances, I would say, and that's how the pyramid started. Fast forward till today, we went through having 5 different areas of food. You have your fruits and vegetables, you have your meats and proteins, and you have your dairy, and you also have then your grains. And then take it even fast forward even more, we now are looking at what's called choose my plate. So instead of having a pyramid, we're looking at a plate and seeing what does that look like at every meal.
And how should it look?
Well, every plate should be around 10 to 12 inches, and you're going to divide it in 4 parts. And so half of the plate should be fruits and vegetables. The other half would be your dairy and your proteins and your grains.
So a typical dinner might look like?
Okay, so a typical dinner like I did last night, we had a salad on a quarter of the plate mm-hmm. with cut up carrots, cucumbers, tomatoes. Well, actually took up half the plate. And the other half of the plate, I had about 3 to 4 ounces of chicken. And then under that, I had about 4 ounces of grain, whole grain rice. Mm-hmm. For dessert was our fruit, just a cup of berries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a perfect meal, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Tell us about hiding vegetables inside of food. I mean, I always grind up carrots and pulverize them and then put them in the pancakes because they like pancakes.
Yes, pancakes are wonderful to hide some vegetables in. It's there is actually a book called Deceptively Delicious, and it's by Jessica Seinfeld, which is Seinfeld's wife.
Oh, really?
Yes, because she was having that situation with her toddlers and her preschoolers. How am I going to get these guys to get these vegetables? One of the easiest foods is pancakes, and if you wanted to buy a can of pumpkin already pureed, it's very easy. Add that for the liquid, and it makes a wonderful pancake with healthier antioxidants to increase those vitamins and minerals. The other thing that I did, too, was starting very young, even at 6 months, and the child is sitting in, as you call it, the learning chair, mm-hmm. introducing foods to them and allowing them to touch them, get the texture of it, put it in their mouth, spit it out, and just have fun with food. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the biggest question a lot of parents are is like, how do I get my kids to eat vegetables? Well, it really does start very young.
I think it's so important because we'll talk a bit later about it, but the kids are in this oral stage of development, and they learn by putting things in their mouth. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful what to put in their mouth. And that's why I don't like kids having pacifiers. I don't like kids having bottles to suck on all day, or those sippy cups. Everybody now, even grandparents, have sippy cups. They take them with them all the time. But not using them for nutrition. I mean, we use them for water, which, of course, is, I suppose, nutrition. But you put these kids who are drinking fruit juice all day long, and pretty soon they have rotten teeth, and they have they'll get fat, and they're malnourished because they won't eat anything because we didn't let them have anything.
Right.
So I think that that's such a good point.
Yes.
I'm not quite so sure I like the idea of hiding foods and other inside other foods, unless you call, well, today we're going to have potato pancakes.
Yes.
I laugh when I say that because my grandma was from out of town when I was a boy, and one week she was going to come over and stay with us for that week. So she and my grandpa came over to stay with us for a week, and grandma said, now, Sunday morning, I'm going to make potato pancakes. Well, we love potatoes. Oh, yeah, I can't wait for potato pancakes. We're so excited. And we talked about the whole week. So Sunday morning, she made potato pancakes, and they had onions in them, and it was like, oh, God, these are really, really awful. We all said, she got so upset she went home.
Oh, no.
So you got to be careful. But I think I don't like even the idea of deceptive.
Mm-hmm. Correct. You know, and that's why, again, if you have a child that hasn't really been introduced to vegetables younger on with the texture, because a lot of times the baby foods pureed. They don't really understand what broccoli really tastes like in the mouth. And they're older now. Now how do we get that nutrition in them? So you're dealing with, you know, a different age group that didn't have the vegetables in the first place. So hiding them might be, I'm going to get a pasta that they like because it seems like kids love butter, pasta, and salt. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they want to eat every meal. Mm-hmm. But there are pastas that are made out of vegetables, you know, and introducing it that way to eventually this is what it looks like in the garden. This is how it was chopped up. This is what it came to be. And we made it in a pasta. I mean, so educating along the way with that.
One of my granddaughters did not like green beans. So she was down to visit us with her family. And I had said, Emily, come out to the garden with me. We're going to pick some beans. What do you mean? So I took her out there. She was about 4, and she picked green beans. And she was so excited. And she went and washed the beans and cooked them, and she couldn't wait to get those beans off the table. She ate green beans till they were coming out of her ears.
Amen. You're going right to the tract of educating. Mm-hmm. And when a child is involved in producing the food, harvesting the food, and bringing it to the table, and actually involved in washing it, maybe using a knife that's appropriate for the age at that time, but cooking it, being involved in the kitchen, because that's the fellowship part too, mm-hmm. is preparing and serving. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember one time when I was trying to serve, like you say, you know, every meal, everybody's going to be here. Cooking takes a lot of time. Dishes takes a lot of time. And I mentally had to get prepared as I'm serving my Lord, serving my children. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I should serve it with joy mm-hmm. and get them involved so that they can do it for their generation afterwards. So if you're thinking more largely about food and it's going to take a little bit more time, realize that you're passing on a tradition of fellowship and just helping each other help each other, because food, you have to have food to survive.
Absolutely. And we were talking at exercise class this morning, and some of the ladies said, well, everything is about attitude.
Yes.
And I said, how could she be more right? It doesn't matter where you are, when you are, what you're doing. It's your attitude that counts, because it determines your whole day.
And
your
children see it and feel that attitude. If they think it's a drudgery to make dinners and do things like that, they're going to feel the same way in the future for themselves.
Well, I just wanted to round that point off by saying that when your kids are sitting in their learning chair, they're learning more than just about eating or about food. They're learning how to be a person, how to be an adult, how to converse. And they learn, again, like I said, through putting food or putting marbles, or when the little babies are there, they lie on their back and they
suck
their hand
it.
Falls in their mouth.
Right.
And they say, wonder what Nick that is, Nick.
Right.
And they look at it and they suck it and take
right.
it out and look at it.
Yeah.
They learn it's a hand and then
right.
it's part of them, and it bites, it hurts, and it stops. It's like,
right.
They learn about that. So when we have something else stuck in the baby's mouth, it's like having a big semi-truck in front of the library and the door nailed shut so they can't mm-hmm. go in there.
Right, and they don't experience actually the texture and things like that. Interesting, we were just kind of talking about this a little bit earlier, those sippy cups.
Yes.
They do now have sippy cups that are more like a cup that they can use, mm-hmm. and they have to actually take a sip.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember my first child, 6 months old, on the kitchen table in the little bouncy seat, and my father brought out a little communion cup
mm-hmm.
with water,
mm-hmm.
and we taught her how to sip out of a communion cup.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to have it small, but that's another way of, you know, just teaching children how to.
Well, when my oldest grandson was about 18 months, he was going to this daycare center, and they had, so we went to visit them one day. They were having morning snack, and so one of the two-year-old kids came out with a pitcher full of water and poured water in all the cups around that table. And they were open glasses, and they drank just like human beings. I thought,
yes.
Holy cow.
These can
learn this in an 18-month-old school. We can mm-hmm. take it to our kids, mm-hmm. too.
Kids have to learn how to take in water. It's you know, mm-hmm. it's a thinner liquid.
Mm-hmm.
So you do teach them, and you can start that even at 6 months. And water, number one, we're 80% water.
Mm-hmm.
The earth is 80% water, and the Lord designed water to not have any calories. So what's the best beverage?
Smart, wasn't he?
Yes.
Carrie Lou, another thing that bothers me is all the snacks the kids get. I mean, if you want to get sick to the stomach, you go down to the soccer field about 5 o'clock in the afternoon when they're breaking up practice, and somebody, I'm responsible for snacks today. It's my day for snacks. So they bring in all kinds of awful things you'd never eat.
Exactly.
And, well, they say, well, we can't want them to get hypoglycemic. I said, well, what a backwards way to think, because hypoglycemia is caused by eating too much sugar.
Right. Exactly. And one of those snacks in those little packets can have up to 7 to 12 teaspoons of sugar. We're talking over 30 grams of sugar in a matter of 2 minutes, they're eating it. So, yes, I agree with that. I instituted food-free zones in the home
mm-hmm.
where food is not allowed. You know, you just don't bring it up to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And also that the kitchen is closed. There's a certain time where the kitchen actually gets closed. Now, as far as snacks after soccer games and that age group, I just had to do my best and bring a basket of apples, bring oranges they had to peel, bring a banana. And, you know, my children saw me do things like that, string cheese, you know, do other things than mm-hmm. just these processed mm-hmm. foods that really fill them up for a minute. They get home to have dinner and they're not hungry. So.
Well, we talked a little bit about picky eaters before they came on the show, and I think that picky eaters are taught to be picky eaters.
Yes.
And they don't sit in their learning chair and learn about food. They just sit there and throw the food on the floor with pacifier in their mouth, and parents ignore them. And then they say, oh, eat this, eat this, eat this. You get begged to eat something, and then more they don't eat, the more attention they get. So personally, I learned that this is a good way to get attention.
Exactly.
So mm-hmm. I called them attention-getting mechanisms, AGMs,
right.
Okay? And
yes, food should never be used as a reward or punishment.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I think that saying that, well, she doesn't like this, he doesn't like this, try this, she'll like it. So, put the food on the table, sit down, eat your food. When it's done, take the food away.
Right.
And don't then they'll be hungry.
Even
next
say
meal.
Your opinion about something you don't like.
right. Don't not like anything.
Yeah.
Recently, I saw an 18-year-old boy going into the military, and he told me he had lost 115 pounds in the past year so he could get in. And he was 330 pounds at his peak. So I said, well, how did you get so far overweight? Well, I said, the truth of the matter is I ate too much. But two of the reasons I ate too much is because my coach and my parents wanted me to gain weight so I could be a better lineman. And I said, holy cow. Being fat doesn't make you a better lineman. Being quick and smart and sharp make you a better lineman and a good coach. He said, well, that's what I thought too, so I quit playing with him. I wasn't going to play with a coach who didn't have any more respect for his players than to ask him to be 330 pounds.
Amen.
That was just so
I'm great. Proud of that kid.
Yep.
It makes me mad to hear that from a coach, because with all the education now, hopefully that's getting out there, that should not happen. I'm proud of him for losing the weight and understanding it makes him healthy, but realizing, you know, that his coach did not have his best interest in mind.
He didn't have. Kayla, one of the things we're running out of time.
Yes.
So what I want to do is I want to ask you to come back. We're going
to
talk about
to.
Weight loss diets and why people want to lose weight and how you get your kids not to be overweight.
Mm-hmm.
We reminded a little girl I saw, and her mother was 300 pounds and her dad was 350, and they were about 5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And they just were the heaviest people I ever saw. And she had three
yes.
kids, and they were all overweight.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to this mother girl, I said, well, why don't you do two things? Try to eat just a little bit less at every meal and then do some more exercises, like go running or do this and that. She says, okay, I can do that. She was six.
Yeah.
So she came in about a month later. She had gained 10 pounds. I said, did you exercise? Oh, yeah. I exercised. I did hand flutters. I said, put hand flutters. I take my hands. I go like this. And she fluttered her hands back and forth. And I said,
yeah.
Okay. But your parents have to teach them, too, how to exercise.
Right. And, again, you're teaching by walking, parking further in the parking lot, walking in to the, you know, taking longer walks and talks together after dinner versus sitting down watching TV. There's a lot of different things.
Oh, yeah.
And it does take practice and habits, obviously, developing good habits.
Two of my grandkids joined this. I don't eat meat because I love animals.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't eat meat, and they don't eat fruits, and they don't eat vegetables. They eat macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So I told them, I said, well, you know, macaroni and cheese aren't vegetables or fruits. And they just laughed.
Right.
And they said, well, I'll get my vitamins from the pill. What's wrong with just chewing up one of those good yummy bears and...
Well, because we still don't know what else is really in food that helps us get fully nourished. And whole foods have so many more nutrients and minerals and phytochemicals and antioxidants than just a pill. My daughter, Hannah, my youngest daughter, at 16 decided to be vegan. So we walked that walk with her, helped her understand what proteins were. And one day she brought in her cheese that was made from a vegan source, and it had 42 ingredients in it. And then I showed her cottage cheese that had 3 ingredients. And I said to her, what do you think's healthier for you?
Additives are bad, but subtractatives are worse.
Right.
The subtractatives are what you take out of the food when they process it.
Right, exactly.
Carrie Lou, it's time we take a break, and I'm going to pause for letting listeners know that this is Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. Before I close, one more story, of course. I have presented what I call my 2 handfuls diet to local wrestling teams and their coaches, and a number of times. I start with bringing in a cooler full of food and a book listing calories present in the different foods. Then I tell the teens a growing teenager needs about 1,500 calories a day just to stay alive and grow, and another 1,500 for activities of daily living. Yes, even sleep takes 60 calories per hour. Then I explain that wrestling uses an additional 350 to 400 calories an hour, especially during practice and matches. Then I have them hold up their hand and I say, the reason God gave you 4 fingers on your left hand is to remind you to eat 4 fruits every day. And 4 fingers on your right hand remind you to eat 4 servings of vegetables. Then I said, your left thumb is to eat 1 meat, and your right thumb, because little babies suck their right thumb a lot, means then you should get 2 milks. They always laugh. They think that's really funny. Then they would say, well, if I ate that, I would be so fat I couldn't even walk, let alone wrestle. So I said, well, let's look at calories. So I opened up my box, and I give the book to the coach. I said, Coach, for breakfast you should have a serving of milk. So I throw a milk carton at it, some of the kids, they catch it. And then I say, and an egg, and I throw an egg. Oh, boy, they really look that. So I have a hard-boiled egg, but they don't know it. And go on through the whole day and ask the coach how much each of those things produces. And then I tell them, at the end of the day, you sit down and say your prayers, and you look at your left hand and say, did I have 4 fruits today? You look at your brain and say, did I have 4 vegetables today? And you look at your thumbs, did I have 2 milks and meat? And I said, no. So you get up and go down to the kitchen and supplement your diet with the foods you really need. Mm-hmm. So I did all those things, threw out the whole carton, case full of food, and I said, Coach, how many calories do we have? And we'd be like, oh, it's like 2,000 or 2,600. And they said, we're going to starve to death. I said, yes. That's where you come in your grains or your carbs, that we call them now. Right. But eat carbs then to fill up the rest of those things and have some snacks, mm-hmm. but stay within those 4 foods and vegetables.
Correct.
So, right. And at the end of the evening, the wrestlers are all happy. They had learned a lot. They've had a lot of fun. I've had even more fun just throwing this food out. It was really fun.
Yes.
Coaches, mm-hmm. they liked it. Mm-hmm. So, now for your homework, I want you to sit down with your family, go to www.parentingmatters, and listen to this post again. Determine if you do, and they eat 2 handfuls of food each day, and adjust your eating habits accordingly. Then return to my website and tell us about your experience. And if you want to talk to Carrie Lou Robertson, the number to call, Carrie Lou?
615-478-8703, and that's Carrie Lou Robinson, and I'd be happy to help.
Good. Thank you very much. And if there's a topic you would like to hear discussed on Parenting Matters, let us know. We'll find an expert to tell us all about it. Thank you, and may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.